You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a fireside chat with the Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Ilona Selke. Ilona is an international best-selling author, seminar leader, lecturer, musician, and CEO and co-founder of Living From Vision. For over 30 years, Ilona has inspired thousands of people worldwide to discover the power of their consciousness and how to create a successful life. She has spent 1,000 hours with dolphins, speaks 4 languages, and has a new book out, Dream Big, The Universe is Listening, which offers real-life stories of transformation as well as practical tips anyone can use to shape-shift their lives from the inside out. For more information, go to her website at www.ilonaselke.com. So let's welcome Ilona to the show now. Hi, Ilona. How are you?
Hi, Lance. I'm so really excited to talk with you today because we've already had one conversation that went super well. So I'm really excited about your questions today.
Well, I'm going to start out with something that I think is something that many people in our vibration are concerned with, and that is time and space and how our consciousness interacts with our 3D world.
That's a question. That's a super awesome question.
And I suspect you have thought about this quite a bit and have some really terrific angles on it.
Well, you know, we have an hour, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Because this is not a one-sentence answer, but it's super exciting. Well, the good thing is we have the modern days. Usually, you know, this type of information, the question you're asking, would have been considered heretic just a little while ago.
Wow.
Yeah, and the answer would have been kept secret, you know, in hidden mystery schools. And so you're the Misty, Zany Misty, Misty Zanning. We are going to enter information that is generally not taught in universities, not in schools, and it's not even that public.
Wow.
Although, and here comes a clincher, I tell you. I was giving a lecture. Yeah, I was giving a lecture at a prophet conference. And the kinds of people that would listen to your show would have gone there.
Mm-hmm.
And they had invited the astronaut, Edgar Mitchell.
Oh, yeah.
Edgar Mitchell, yeah, he flew Apollo 14 to the moon, and he was super intelligent. He started noetic sciences. He stood on stage, and I remember sitting there in rapture listening to him because, you know, here is a man who's walked his talk and had this epiphany outside of Earth, looking at Earth, and then kind of going and shifting in his life, his whole approach, and looking at life. And here's what he came up with, and he shares with us the story on stage. He's in a think tank. He's invited by the government, I think, or high sources with super intelligent people to be in what they call the think tanks, right? So
mm-hmm.
the group of really smart people sitting together and talking about time, space, and consciousness.
Ah.
Now, the plot thickens.
The plot thickens, yes. Watson.
And I'm sitting there in rapture because it's one of my favorite questions. How can, in the Bible, we have all these miracle stories. How can these Filipino healers that I've seen videos with close-up videos, you know, how can they do miracles? The Lord experiments, well, you can say some of it is because people expect to have miracles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and expecting miracles creates positive outcomes.
Duh.
Yeah. Okay, all right. How it happens, we don't know, but let's just assume it does, yeah?
Yes.
But there are truly miracles, yogis. I've talked to people who've traveled to the Himalayas, who've watched with their own eyes people crunch glass, push cars up in the air, cut my husband to have seen his, whatever we call them, these Kaikido teachers, cut a brick five layers deep, not the top one, but the one, the fifth one down. The teacher said, which one do you want me to break? And he said, some student said, the fifth one down, and he broke that one and no other. So we know there are things, as my grandfather used to say, between heaven and earth, that we cannot explain, you know.
Right.
We come back to Edgar Mitchell, you know, and so they're debating this time-space. And how does our consciousness affect time-space? Because if prayer has some effect on reality, as the Bible says, as so many religions say, who are we talking to and who is listening? And how come we can create change in the physical matrix? And you know what he says?
The what?
He said, and I filled in the blanks because I've said the same thing, so I was sitting there in rapture going, he's saying, and you know that consciousness, or, well, they were debating gravitational forces. And he came, or they all came to the conclusion that consciousness creates gravitational fields, which in turn affect matter, time, and space. Because we know from Einstein, light bends in gravitational fields, time and space bends. That's why we experience gravitational fields. Nobody has figured gravity out yet. But they in the think tank said consciousness, focused consciousness creates gravitational field. Actually, any thought creates it in such minuscule ways that for most people it's imperceptible. But when they go into prayer and really say, God, I mean business, sometimes the thoughts are so streamlined like a laser light that it hits a home run and they get results. Now, and that is what I write about. That's exactly what Dream Big is about. You know, I pack it into stories and I go to India and I see things in front of my eyes. I'm actually looking at one of the rings right now here in my little shelf display of magic and miracles, a black sapphire ring that was manifested in one of those Indian ashrams with an Indian guru. And, you know, yeah, and I saw a bunch of miracles. And I have to say, when I sat there, I said, no. He just went shopping. And and I describe in my book, you know, he tells me actually in my mind ahead of time he's going to do this, you know. And there were hundreds of people in the hall, in the big hall. And out of all the people, the guy picked me. I was at the very back end. I didn't want to be seen because I thought this was a hocus pocus show.
Right.
And he calls me because I was the one, you know, the one that didn't believe.
Yeah.
And he calls to the front and says, here, I have something for you. And he makes the swirly movement. And I describe it, you know, the people falling to his feet and touching the edge of his rope and all the shemangs. And I'm like going, really? Oh, God, get over it. And then he produces this star, black star sapphire ring for me. And I'm going like, did I just see that or not? And everybody else in the group is ready to believe in God because, you know, if one person can create something that defies physics, well, we know that greater laws must be at work. But it's not enough for me. You know, I go like, nah. So in the book, I walk all the audiences through all the different miracle things that I saw, however, how much I doubted it, how then I discover methods of how to create miracles ourselves. Now, I teach techniques in forms of stories because we remember stories much better than we, you know, we don't like being lectured to. Anyhow, so I have... You know, I have one story, and it described the technique in the story of how what it takes for us to focus our attention to such a degree that we actually create gravitational fields, and that what Edgar Mitchell said becomes true. Our consciousness, our thoughts create gravitational fields and affect time, space, reality. All right. That was a good question.
thank you. I do my homework.
Yeah, you did.
Well,
well,
something popped up. I just want to throw it out there. So if our thoughts create gravitational fields, is it conceivable that our heavier thoughts or denser thoughts create more gravity?
I love that question. So, you know, heavier, like what would be a heavier thought?
Well, something really dense and lower vibrational.
Okay, like hate, anger? Or
yeah, maybe some kind of misdirected anger at one of the politicians or leaders
okay.
of the world, or, you know, something that you can't
right.
really fix right away.
Okay, so this is a very, very good picture you're drawing there. And I have to tell you what I found out, that the okay, so if we put this on a vibratory scale, if we could measure our thoughts, the ones that are filled with gloom and doom and hatred, well, I'm not saying they're not effective. They probably would produce some bad results.
Mm-hmm.
However, when you see magic happen,
mm-hmm.
that's only at the upper range of frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
The miraculous, where time and space bends, where you can go like, oh my God, did I just see this or what, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Where you go, rub your eyes and go, wait a second, I was just here and now I'm here. How did this happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those kinds of magical events, that, and, you know, where everything works out, where miraculously the right person calls you, where you meet the right person, you fall in love with the right person, you make the right amount of money, you are a perfect example for humanity, you're contributing to other people's well-being, where you help, where you're loving, where you're being loved, and where everything works out, that universe, that requires high vibrating energies.
Mm-hmm.
And so what your question is, do denser and heavier thoughts create more gravitational fields? I would answer with, they create a reality that is in keeping with the reality, with the vibration we put out.
Right.
So if I put out hate and anger, guess who I'm going to have for lunch and dinner next to me in the airplane or across from me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I might find suddenly all the folks in the universe who have similar vibrations
mm-hmm.
and similar thoughts. Whereas when I vibrate higher and I write stories that are very magical, in there that I experienced 3D solid miracles where I can say, okay, I did this step, and this step, and I'll tell you how to if you want to. Do you want me to walk you through some of those steps?
Yes, that would be good. I think everybody would enjoy that too.
Yeah. Okay, so let me just tell you first an example, a metaphor of how a light bulb functions. Yeah, we have normal light bulbs and 100 watts is a certain amount of energy. If you have 100 normal watt light bulb, you can read by it at night. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
It's bright enough. But if you take the same 100 watts and streamline them, in other words, put them in like a laser light, the photons all go in the same direction. They're marching in the same direction, having the same focus, the same intention.
Mm-hmm.
Not going forward and then another thought going, well, but no, yes, I want this, but no, I can't. Well, yes, I would like to, but no, you know, remember they told me such and such. No, when all of your thoughts are streamlined like a laser light, the laser light, even if we just have a 100-watt laser light, can cut through steel.
Wow.
Now, the photons of a normal light bulb cannot cut through steel. Not possible. The light bulb is just enough to read a book by.
Interesting.
When you streamline, exactly. If we just got this one down, you streamline your thoughts, your feelings, and your subconscious, everything, every ounce in you, in one direction, you can, with 100 watts only, you could cut through steel or you can create miracles.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
wow.
How do we do that, right?
Yeah, I was just going to say.
How?
How
do I get? Yeah, let's say I want to make $1 million, you know? And I go,
right.
Yesterday I made 10,000 or last year I made whatever, 50, I don't know, whatever. No chance in life. You know, maybe the other part of me says, well, wait, girl, your mom only made, you know, XYZ, and your grandfather and your aunts and your uncles, they only make this much. You're not going to stick out like a sore thumb in the family lineage here.
Mm.
this may not be a thought that I am conscious of. This may be just, we've always done it like this, so let's just keep with the program, right?
Mm-hmm.
We handle problems by putting them under the carpet. I'm not going to start talking openly on the table about problems or my subconscious.
Oh, right.
Well,
right.
This is where we need to change. If we really want to become different, a different bird, you know, like an eagle instead of scratching with a chicken,
mm-hmm.
if we want to fly, this is where the book Dream Big, The Universe is Listening, can really help. Where when you read how you addressed your subconscious, where you read about how you'd streamline your thoughts. So I'm going to walk us through some of these steps.
Okay.
So the first step, as I said, is being willing to look at the parts of you that doubt or have other thoughts than what the one direction is you really want to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
For example, if people want to change, it's really good to come into the company of others who have done it already.
Mm-hmm.
You imbibe from other people their subconscious thoughts, their belief systems. And little by little, you become, even in your subconscious, more similar to them because that's the company you keep. You know, the sense you're basically are the five people that you keep around you that reflect you the most, the closest people. Well, some part of that is really true because they are in your resonant field. So what we set up is resonance in ourselves. So now how to increase the resonance? All right. So in my book, I describe one simple technique that we all can take home right now is practice gratitude. And to the degree that you are noticing that you're more and more grateful, you already know that you're increasing that luminosity, the watts going in the same direction, mm-hmm. the photons. When you are vibrating in your heart, gratitude, it's like a feeling, you know, you feel like, oh, thank you. Thank you, universe. Thank you, God. Or thank you, dear beloved spouse. Thank you, child. Thank you, stranger. Thank you, sunshine. Thank you, whatever. We start focusing on beauty and the things that are working
mm-hmm.
and what we can be grateful for. Baseline, the easiest number one foundation in us has to be that we start focusing on what works.
Mm.
Now, I have an app called the Living from Vision Light app. I have an app I'm going to give one away for free to your audience.
Oh, good.
I tell you. Yeah? Okay. Where you practice every night before going to bed, you practice the feeling of gratitude because gratitude sets up more energy in your heart than in your solar plexus. You know, the part in your tummy that gets angry,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's like, this isn't working.
Yes, I know that place very well.
Yeah. Well, when we do the Living from Vision course, for example, it's a 5-week course where I train people how to shift their mindset from problem to solution-oriented thinking, and then also to develop these magical skills mm-hmm. on how to energize choices. But here's one technique we all can take home. You can look at what didn't work, but I recommend you do an Oreo cookie inside out. Do you know how that goes?
No.
Oreo, this is like how you...
Oh, yes, I know what the cookie is.
How yeah, you... and you know how Oreo cookie inside out looks like?
Yes, it would be a white cream.
Okay, exactly. The black, the hard, crusty stuff on the outside.
Yeah. And the
No. It's normally on the outside, right? We flip it over. So now we have the sweet stuff up top. Then we have the crunchy side. And then we have the sweet stuff again, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's an Oreo cookie inside out. Now, I tell you, this is what you do with your day at the end or with a person you want to share some difficult feedback to. You look at everything that works first. You tell the person what you liked about what they do. You might do that same thing with yourself. See, most people get down on themselves. You tell yourself, hey, I did this well, this worked well, I like this about myself. Now comes the crunchy part. You know, what didn't work so well was X, Y, Z, or maybe only one thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now we have looked at what didn't work. but we don't focus on it. Next, we go to that sweet, fluffy stuff in the Oreo cookie inside out, which is sweet stuff again. What I learned from it, what I would do better, and one more thing that I'm really grateful for. And then you're done with your sweet, inside-out Oreo cookie review of your day. You know, so at night, you go and do your Oreo cookie inside-out review of the day. What worked, what didn't work, what you really liked, and what you're grateful for.
Wow, that's very practical.
Very. So this, if you go to bed like that, and everybody can do that, if you take my advice here and practice this, and I'm going to make it easy at the end of the show. I'll give you my website again, and I'll spell it out for you so you can go there, because I give everybody who comes there and signs up a free app that guides you through a morning meditation of 8 minutes where you pre-envision your fulfillment, which is what most people don't do. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But now we talked about the evening. It will walk you through about 8 minutes to finishing your day in a way that is productive. And the first thing that you'll notice is you'll find out you sleep better, you'll wake up happier. Two things that most everybody reports who does the Living from Vision course. But this app is for free, so you can practice with this one already. So when you said how are some practical steps? These are very practical, easy to follow steps. The very first foundation, become streamlined in your energy, and when and if, which happens to me every day, you hit upon something that doesn't work the way you would like it, or where maybe something is painful or you doubt yourself, then let's do another quick technique that I can walk you through here in an hour. It will ideally, I've written a children's book where it spells the steps out step by step. So I'll walk you through a three secret word technique that you can use already. You just have to remember three words. But of course, if you really want to create time space jumps and do miracles, you do have to work a little bit deeper with this particular technique. But the principle applies in the same way. So 1 second, hold on. Zan, it's over to you for a moment.
All right.
I had swallowed in the wrong direction while I was talking. Anyways, so I would say what we think now, let me recap. How do we put our thoughts in the same direction so we become a laser light? One, of course, is having a good baseline where you start focusing on what is good. You learn and train your focus. Because what most people do is they react to life as it comes at them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's a car, I react. Well, good thing I react. It's not a bad thing. It's just we don't want to do it all the time.
Right.
We need to get in the habit what Brian Tracy, what Jack Canfield, the guy, both of them I co-authored a book with, Success Blueprint and The Secret, The Big Secret, the guy who wrote Chicken Soup of the Soul, Jack Canfield, awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome people. Jack Canfield and Brian Tracy, awesome people with awesome books and awesome courses.
Mm-hmm.
They all say one thing in common. You've got to learn how to focus where you're going. Otherwise, you become a leaf in the wind that reacts to the wind current, and you, by the end of the day, you go, what did I do? What really mattered? You know?
Yes.
Yeah. So I teach people, and I've done this for 30 years, so I know I have a lot of background. We have taught Chinese people, Australian people, South African, South American, Mexican, German, Spanish, English, British, French, Canadian, French-Canadian, Americans, everybody, Asian, I mean, Singaporeans, tons of Singaporeans, Chinese-speaking, English-speaking, French-speaking, German-speaking, Czechoslovakian, I forgot those. All are the same. We're all the same kinds of people. We tend to, you know, want to be responsive to the world around us and react. But realistically, what we need to learn, besides being nice and kind or even responsive, we need to learn how to set the tone and to focus and set goals so that our subconscious mind knows where we're going. We need to declare it to the universe. And that's why I say dream big. Start. Do bigger than before anyhow. Because we as humans in study in happiness has shown this. There's a beautiful book out called The Flow. Studies in happiness, we have done it for the last 30 years as well. We have found, bar none, that when people, I can almost bet on this one, go to bed being grateful for something in their life and learn something and look at what worked and what didn't work, mm-hmm. will increase their happiness while they're focusing on a new goal, will increase their happiness from an average of 6.5 on a scale from 1 to 10 to a 9 or 10. And we've seen this now when people do their homework. Of course, some people don't, and then it works appropriately. Mm-hmm. But when people do their homework and really practice, even for 5 weeks, we've gotten them from 6.5 average ratings to 10. Now, in other studies, they've shown that people need to have a goal, something they work towards. It doesn't have to be gigantic. It just has to be more than where they're at now.
Okay.
To feed back to themselves, you know, I am evolving. We are souls on planet Earth for one purpose. And that is to evolve, not just our genetic species, but also who we are, our capacities, and our fundamental capacity. And, you know, when I do guided meditations with children, they get the answer very quickly. Mm. What they are here for, you know what they are here for? You want to find out?
Yeah, sure.
The children all come back. What is your life's purpose, you know? We don't mind. They are kids. They learn. They can tell you right away. I know what I'm here for. They are totally excited. They're here to shine more light and to share more love. Now, when I go with grown-ups, and I have done this with tons of people and tons of seminars in the last 30 years, what do they come back with? Hmm. Same thing, except they sound different. Oh, well, yes, well, what I found out is that I'm here to shine more love and light. That's all I got. They were hoping to find out if they should become a baker or a chimney sweep, you know, or
right.
an author or something, you know, or a TV star. They think that shining light and loving more is not a big enough purpose in life. But I tell you one thing, it is. So if you bake bread with loving energy, that's awesome, because then you're living your talent, which is baking bread, and your purpose in life, which is bring those laser light photons through your heart, and touch the world and make a better life for yourself and others, and through your consciousness. You know, shine that light, be a bright, luminous, hello, good morning, how are you, light. And it help the world that way, instead of the... What you were saying earlier, the heavier and doomier, gloomier people, well, what, they might get out guns, but then what? You know, it's just nothing good comes out of heavy vibrations.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that, you know, we might go, I went through a period of depression for a year when I was 26, having burned out. And I was lucky enough to decide that I wanted to find out the solution. And I found that I sat next to Dr. Bob Beck, the developer of the brain tuner. He developed it, and I used it for 3 weeks, and it was back to normal. So thank God I met him.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, you know, so things can happen, and I worked for a year trying to breathe and walk and be positive, and nothing worked. But this electrical stimulation of my brain in 3 weeks got me back on my feet. And, you know, so having come from that, I do know it's not just talking yourself into happiness. There are conditions where the brain just simply, you know, in menopause or women on PMS, you know, before their period, go through a radical shift, and it's really challenging to stay positive. But when you say, I will be positive, and this is how it'll look like, and you pretend, and this is now, we're going to get to the next, how do we shift a positive future into our reality? This is how you do it. You go into the future fulfilled in your mind, which I guide you through in my app for free. And you focus on one goal, one thing. And it could simply be, you know, taking a break during a day and reading your favorite book. It could be spending time in silence with your own heart and soul. It could be writing that book. It could be, you know, delivering that speech, whatever it is for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you go, you imagine this goal, and instead of a donkey who has that carrot in front of him the whole way until he gets to, it's like always 1 foot away from his nose. We have to step to the moment of where the donkey has that carrot in his mouth. You step into the picture where you arrive in that future of your choice. You plunk yourself in the middle of that image, that little video of yourself. You know, a lot of times, and even I myself have to catch myself running negative movies and go, stop it, all right, we're shifting movie screens here, take two, and I just plunk myself into the positive outcome. And it takes discipline because, you know, sob stories, you know, our emotional body can get addicted to sob stories.
Oh, yeah.
But hey, you know, what would you rather sit, look at a movie, the movie where everything failed in your life or the movie where everything went well in your life? And which one would you pick?
Synchronous.
I know. That's where we... But, you know, a lot of people choose the sob story movie, you know. I would rather see all of us say, hey, that's a thought. Every time you catch yourself, it's not a one-time decision. It's an everyday decision. You go, which movie am I going to look at? Where my husband does everything wrong? Or where, and this my husband did this technique on me, where I was complaining about the things he did wrong. He said, Ilona, just pretend I'm an angel for a while and imagine that I do everything right.
Yeah.
And I took him by his word because we were studying these techniques, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Miracle over miracle, he started behaving perfectly.
Wow.
I mean, my God, you know, my simple choosing a different movie made a difference. So become that donkey that eats the carrot. Jump in whatever and start out small. Start out with small goals. Learn how that works. And I teach people how to do this step by step, with guided meditations, with apps that change. For every 5 weeks, you get a different exercise, 10, 12 different exercises. You practice. And when you know how to shift into these fulfilled future states, and I'm going to give you these three secret words right now, they will make sense.
Okay.
Then you learn the beginnings of creating gravitational fields through your thoughts that will make a difference. And the finer you vibrate, as I said in the beginning, the higher your vibration, the more potency you develop, and those photons that are lined up in that 100 laser light that can cut through steel, your thoughts cut through to the source of the universe, to the God source, whatever you want to call it, and your prayer or your thoughts will be answered, because the resonant field you create within yourself, that I'm eating my yummy carrot right now, will become a field in you that the universe says, oh, okay, I see him eating or her eating a carrot. Good, let's create a carrot for her. And the carrot will show up in your life. So here are the three secret steps.
Okay.
The words, the only ones you have to remember for today.
All right.
All right, let's go. Let me give you the words first, and then I'll give you an example. Yeah?
Okay.
Okay. Stop, look, choose. And you know what? I like to add a fourth one, but it's so easy to remember. Stop, look, choose. Stop, look, choose. All right. The fourth one is feel and let go. But let me just walk you through the first three.
All righty.
The fourth one automatically comes. So let's take a situation. I'd like you to all go. Let's all do this together.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Take a situation that may not have gone as well as you wanted to in the last few days. Something must have come up. Or if not, the last week, probably something happened. Okay? And just think of something that didn't work as well as you wanted it.
Okay.
All right? Okay. Now, when you are in a movie that is a roller coaster, what do you do, hopefully or usually? What do you do when you get really scared, when it's a horror movie, when it's like whatever, scary, you know, chase scene? How do you help yourself?
Well, if it's a movie, you can always get up and leave the room.
Yeah, or what I do is, like, I'll just close my eyes, or I'll just say, it's just a movie, you know?
Right.
Right, it's similar what you say, get out of the room, get out of the movie, don't participate, just stop. So if I were a film director and I saw take one that didn't go so well, I would say what? Hey, stop.
Yeah,
stop.
Right. Right.
Stop. Take two.
Right.
And so what we can do in real life is we'll just go, uh-uh. Even in retrospect, even if something didn't go well and now we're here and we're saying, okay, let's just stop the movie as it went and step out of it. So you think of your situation again.
Okay.
And you now say, okay, stop the movie. I'm going to step out for a moment. And this is the moment where you give your soul, your heart, a chance to be heard, to listen to your inner self.
Mm-hmm.
There's the movie. There's what isn't going well. This is you. See, and most of the time we embroil ourselves with the movie so much we forgot who's watching. But we,
right. We forget ourselves.
Exactly. We're the moviegoers, so let's watch our movie, our life. Okay, we step out. We go, okay, problem, happening, not feeling good. Okay, you look at it. This is the looking part. We're becoming aware. See, and it may sound very simple, and I've boiled it down to some very simple steps so we can all do it. But this, in the end, can make you become the yogi that creates things out of thin air. So we'll all be, students of, 101. Stop.
Right.
Get out of the movie. Look at it. Okay, this is happening. All right, I see it. Not feeling good. Just become aware of your feelings that you're having. Just notice how you're feeling as that went on. What feelings came up for you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes.
All right, so now I am doing this as we go, and I hope everybody's following along. I've picked something in my mind as well. So here's a situation. I've stopped. I've looked at it. I've become aware of my feelings. Not so happy, this and that. Maybe you can become aware of where in your body do you feel that feeling. Just notice where the center is located of that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? For some, it's in the heart. For some, it's in the belly. Some people may even, it's a pain in the neck or whatever, but it's usually a feeling is more in the front of the body as a feeling, like anger or love or joy, it's a feeling. All right, so we feel the feeling, and now we come to step number 3, choose. So we're going to choose what is it that we really want. Heck, we have director's seat here. We're going to stop. Look at it, notice what's going on, and then choose. Hey, and now I'm going to ask you, what would you have rather liked if you could have had your druthers, if you could have had your wish fulfilled, if you could have had what you really wanted instead? What would that have been? Or what could that be? And I'd like you to just take a moment of silence as you dive into your own heart and ask yourself, what would I have rather felt? If regardless of whether you think it's possible, what would you rather experience? And as you let your mind wander into a fulfilled version of what you really wanted, I'd like you to allow yourself the luxury of a mini vacation for your soul. And I'd like you to just step in, just for a moment, a pretend movie scene of what it would have been like or what it could be like if you had what you really would have rather seen in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And allow yourself, like stepping into that movie, whether you see pictures or not, doesn't matter. You can, now comes the more important part, feel the feeling you would have had if that had happened. And something usually wonderful flows through us or enters us or makes us go, I can feel a sigh of relief or breathe more lightly or something.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true for you?
Yes, it seems to move me out of habitual patterns.
Yeah. And this, then, is the fourth step that I didn't mention as a word. It's feel the feeling. You automatically, when you choose, it's implied, go into that mini vacation, allow yourself, irregardless of whether you think it's possible or not, to enter that state. And then feel it. Feel it. Be that donkey that eats the carrot. Yum. Mm. You know, feel the feeling. Oh, yes. This is how it feels to arrive at the destination of my choice. And now you can basically click your heels like Dorothy and say, I'm no longer in Kansas. Basically, this will transport you, according to quantum physics. Hugh Everett and Wheeler had discovered one interpretation of quantum physics says that we are surrounded by the sea of potential, which quantum physics says. But they then went a step further and said all options are parallel possibilities, side by side, so to speak, or interlaced. And your positive movie you just made is one of the options you can step into. And quantum physics says what the observer puts their attention on is what will come about. And they've done experiment after experiment, and it holds true on a subatomic level.
Mm-hmm.
Now, quantum physics can predict so many things, and we use it all the time, but this doesn't make any sense. Imagine if this were really true. What you put your attention on comes about in the big macrocosm world, you know, like, mm-hmm. you know, day-to-day job and kids and all that. Well, here's what my book tells you. The universe is listening. These parallel choices that are all out there, you enliven those choices by putting your attention on them.
Mm-hmm.
And because quantum physics can prove it on the microcosmic level, Edgar Mitchell said, consciousness creates gravity. And nobody knows what gravity is, but gravity, I imagine it's sort of like, you know, like a spin factor, you know, or like gravitational fields come when you have intensity of feeling and thought and an intention. It's like it forms like a point in time space. And then suddenly you have a whirlwind of something and all the things align themselves to make that come about. As long, and this is the final sentence, is as long as you believe it's possible.
Hmm.
And this is why I say start with small miracles and work your way up. You know, grow with your own capacity of believing in a greater universe. And each step of the way, you prove to yourself, this is what I can hold, this is what I can believe, because your physical reality will reflect to you everything. Your subconscious positive and negative feelings, your conscious positive and negative feelings, and your superconscious, the soul attitudes. And everything grows, and even there we can have, let's say, you know, I don't know whether your audience is into past lives or not, but I have had many seminar participants who've had to deal with the fact that in a past life they have sworn to poverty while they were a monk or a nun.
Mm.
And when they've sworn to certain things, these beliefs, these credos, these declarations to the universe sometimes carry over. And we still believe it whether we know it or not. And we can maybe sometimes sense that we have that feeling. It's like so natural to us. It feels like second nature. Yes, life is like this.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to make a change, you do have to do some soul searching and go to the parts of you that carry within your subconscious, your conscious, and your superconscious the beliefs that all are in alignment with the world and life you want to live now. Stop, look, choose, and feel. And you enter into the parallel world of your choice. And that's what I write about in my book, and I write stories to where it becomes practical, it becomes doable, but some are so far out with practical steps to where you go, wow, wow. But you know, when people read it, they say, well, if she can do it, I can do it. So I've had even radio interviewers, when I wrote my first book, Wisdom of the Dolphins, came back to me. I remember this woman interviewed me in Portland, and I had to visit her in those days. We had to go sometimes fly to those places to be interviewed on the radio live. And she had read my book, and she said, you know, I did these steps that you described. And you know what? I created exactly the kind of miracle you write about. And she described her story where she was supposed to meet someone. She didn't meet them. It was in the middle of a big city. And she just stood there and said, I will be with this person. And she imagined, like the donkey eating the carrot, being with that person. I remember her story till this day. And she just, like, didn't know what to do. She crossed a pathway to somewhere else to maybe go get something to eat. And the person she had meant to meet, was supposed to meet, where they missed, ran across each other. And they were like the donkey eating the carrot, then going out and having the meeting that they were supposed to have. So, easy when you follow the steps of a recipe. And complex enough to get all of us scratching our heads, because who is listening? What is listening to us? How is this possible? The universe is listening. We know that from experiences all over the world. But my God, this is the greatest, best kept secret. And people watch TV and forget to focus. You know, I call everybody into questioning whether dumbing ourselves down is really what we want to do here on human planet Earth school. Maybe we want to wake up and have a better life now and in the future. Over to you, Lance.
That makes a lot of sense to me. I don't know too many people who don't want a better life.
Well, and we have to do something. You know,
right,
I hate to say
right.
it, but no pain, no gain. It's like, it's not no pain, it's no pleasure, no gain, but you have to do something to get all of the ducks in order, all of your photons lined up.
Mm-hmm.
Become that lined up photonic light, or the laser light that can create changes in your own world and in the world around you.
Well, that does make a lot of sense, and I think that those exercises are a good start.
Yeah.
But,
you know, we were going to tell people how to get to my app where they get, you know, it's easier. I still
do
it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
So, yeah, if you go to my website, Ilona Selke, and I'm going to spell my name because most people in America probably wouldn't know how to spell Ilona. It's spelled with an I, like I and you and I. I-L, like in light, O-N, like in Nancy, A, Ilona, and then Selke, S, like in star, E-L-K-E. Elke, we all know, yeah? S,
right, Elke Selke.
Yep, exactly, Elke Summers, Selke. .com, IlonaSelke.com. So if you go there and you sign up there, it says get this free app. You can get your free app, sign up, listen to it, do your morning and evening homework, and start creating a change. You will find on that app also buttons where you can go to the Living from Vision course, and therefore you can, when you go to the Living from Vision course, explore how that, if you want to go deeper and really make the changes more than just listening to the morning and evening app, you can do that. But the very most important thing is that we need to have a practice where we focus our attention and we enter the life we want to live.
Right, right. Every moment that we are not working on that, we just are developing something to complain about and play the victim.
Yeah, and why bother? You know, waste
right.
our time away, right? Yeah. So what we want to do is move. And you know what, Lance, let's be honest. How often does it happen in your life? How often does it happen in mine? You know, somebody barks at me. What do I want to do? Complain
crawl under
to it.
A rock.
Yeah, crawl under a rock or maybe be mean to them or
right.
at least the very least, mull it over in my mind until I have seen that movie at least 100 times. Oh, yeah, right. They're so wrong. They're so bad. They're so off. They're a rocker. And does that help?
No.
You know, what I really want is the solution. And becoming a solution-oriented thinker peer, I mean, choosing, if you could choose between failure and results, victimhood and thriving, between problem thinker and solution thinker, which one would you choose if you had your choice?
Oh, a solution thinker, by all means. In fact, I am kind of like that.
Awesome.
You know, there's so many answers to the world's world's problems, and and they all have solutions, maybe an infinite array of solutions, and you can come up with 10, 20, 30 if you like, but if you find one that you like, then that is sufficient. But
and then you become a portion of the solution.
Yeah.
Instead
yeah.
of complaining, you know what, Lance, let me tell you the last story, because I end my book with, you not only change your personal life, you change global life. And here's how I did it. For 1 year, you know, my pet peeve is, we live in Bali. We run a retreat center in Bali called Shambhala, and we're situated right on the ocean. But what we do also have is, we live in a village where they didn't have trash pickup. And the trash wound up in the riverbed, you know. The river would get full in the rainy season, and it would clean out so nicely into the ocean where we go snorkeling. Well, that's not what we wanted. Yeah. So we talked with a neighbor, with the mayor, and, you know, and then I became aware this is a global problem. Even in New York in the 40s, they shipped out the trash to the sea and dumped it.
Oh.
And, you know, we have that big Pacific patch that is as big as Texas, you know, this plastic bunch of soup in the Pacific, right?
Sure, miles wide.
Yeah. Yeah, as big as Texas, it's all plastic. So and, you know, when we're going, if we keep going having more people on this planet, we're going to have to find a solution. So here's how I applied the stop, look, choose, feel technique, stop, look, choose technique, to global solutions. And I did this for 5 minutes every Saturday for 1 year. Not much time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I would visualize, okay, we have a problem. Stop the movie. Don't complain. Don't feel unempowered. You know, there could easily, it's like, oh my God, it's so big, I can't do anything about it. No, stop. Different movie. Look at it. How do I feel? Pretty, pretty sad. Pretty heavy in my tummy. Pretty upset. Pretty helpless. Okay, feeling helpless, sad, and mad. Okay, got it. Now, choose. What do I really want? Haha. This is where I have to convince myself that I have to allow myself to enter into a short mini vacation of my soul. Where and how would it be if we had a solution? This plastic is gone. There is a solution. Something has come about magically out of the blue. Solutions have come out, and I could see, literally feel the solution of some microbe, I imagine, coming about that was going to eat up all this plastic.
Oh, yeah,
yes.
Right.
Yes. I am in my movie. I love it. I love it. I love it. I feel it. Yes. I am in a world where the plastic is being eaten up. Guess what happened after a year? After a year. You know, I didn't give up. I did it every Saturday for 5 minutes a year. Guess what happened?
What?
In the newspapers, they published this great new finding. Students from a university, I believe it was Tübingen in Germany, but don't quote me on this, I believe it is from there. Let's say just Germany is where I remember it coming from. But anyways, they went to South America, to the Amazon, and for some reason, they discovered a microbe that was anaerobic, so it doesn't need air, that can digest plastic into its organic components. They found it. So now, they're busy discovering methods and ways to where this microbe can be utilized to digest plastic in a controlled sort of way. Because we don't want our plastic cars to disappear from the road, right?
Right.
All the parts that are not made of steel or our cola bottles. No, we shouldn't be drinking that anyways. But anyhow, sorry. But we want to make sure that the plastic, we want destroyed for as long as we have plastic. My new idea is, we're beyond plastic. We're now in a world beyond plastic. So I envision the solution now. My carrot is in my mouth. I'm the donkey eating a world that has graduated into plastic-free. Now, I have to give physical time, sometimes a little time, to come to the solution. It took me 1 year, and they found the microbe. They found it. Did I have something to do with it?
Well, why not?
Well, I had something to do with bringing the solution into my world. In my world now, I don't feel as unempowered anymore. I know there is hope on the horizon. See?
Yes,
maybe there is a parallel, right? Because maybe there is an earth that goes to pots. There is an earth that will actually make it. So I'm going to have to constantly choose to envision landing on the earth in my mind where we make it, where the earth and humanity makes it. And I have to say, that's a lot of a job sometimes. I prefer to imagine it all goes to dumps because it's such a good drama. But, you know, if I really want to be honest, that's where I still have to struggle. You know, it's like, eh. But no, there could be. The genius of humanity could wake up and we could all have this. We could all participate. This is why I keep talking. Believe me, Lance, I could have quit working 20 years ago. I did not need to write another book. I could have sat on the beach for the rest of my life. And why am I taking the time to talk and work and write and teach and travel? To make a difference and help all of us to wake up.
Yep.
Dream big. The universe is listening. Let's get it.
Right, right. Well, you know, in all our conversation tonight, we've just about run out of time. In fact, we are out of time.
We had 1 hour. Wow, that went by fast.
Yeah, there was a lot packed into it.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Lance. Thanks for letting me rattle and do all this. It was a little bit, I love that you say conversation because it was a little bit of a monologue, but I felt like, you know, we were still, you know, with each other.
We were still
connected.
Think,
yeah, I felt it.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And ironically, I have a little case of the hiccups today. And I was wondering if I was going to be able to go on the show, and of course it has interfered a little bit, so it was just as well that I didn't have to be hiccuping when I retorted to you.
Right, right.
So it worked out perfectly.
You know what I do with little hiccups?
What?
Like maybe a minute or two or whatever, tiny, tiny swallows. I take a little cup of water, and then I swallow tiny swallows. And then usually the hiccups stop.
Oh, I'll try that right as soon as we get off the phone.
Yeah.
That's a good suggestion. See, now you opened a new possibility for me and a new door.
There you go.
And, that's wonderful.
Awesome.
You should let people know that if they want to have exercises and that are very similar to the ones you described on the show today that a lot of that is in your book and it's very practically outlined in stories. Mm-hmm. And so I think by getting your book that people will have a much better success rate.
Yes. Thank you. So you can get the I hear you hiccuping, so I'm going to take over. So go to Amazon.com. That's the easiest place where you can get it. On Kindle, the book is only $4.95. On print, it's $19.95. You can get it also through your bookstores. It's Ingram carries it, so, yeah, you can order it anywhere you like, but Amazon ships it to you as well.
And the name of the book again is?
Dream Big. The universe is listening.
Yes, absolutely. And it is listening.
It is. I'm really...
Well, we're going to have to save that for our next show. The idea that there are feedback loops and everything is a mirror.
Yes.
Well, Ilona, thank you so much for coming back. I really enjoy talking to you.
Me too.
I'm sorry my voice was a little bit crackly, but it didn't matter because
yours
wasn't.
You did a good job.
Anyway, thanks again for coming on the show, and I'm sure that we'll be talking again soon, and have a great weekend.
You too, and a great fall and eating pumpkin time.
Oh, yes, I always have pumpkin pie with whipped cream. All right.
All right. Bye, Len. Thank you so much, everybody. Bye.